Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. John Saxberg here, your host here at Revival Now. I want to welcome everybody listening to me by way of podcast from all over the world, from the Kiwi Islands to Australia to Asia, parts of Africa, parts of the Middle East, Europe on Eurocast, AussieCast. You know, there's parts of the Ukraine now that are listening, to this broadcast. And we've got a bunch of other people down in South America. We've got people in Hawaii, people in Alaska, Canada. Glad to have you on board. I want to just let's get going into the word here. The message today is walking through the valley of the shadow of grief. We all grieve. We all have emotions. We are a living, walking human being that has feelings. Every one of us, there's not a human being that God did not create, that did not have emotions, that does not have feelings, that does not experience grief. The way we handle grief sometimes can be good or be very tragic. I mean, my way of handling grief years ago was to medicate it with booze. When I was 18 years old, my grandmother passed away. I already had somewhat of a drinking problem because I started drinking more when she started getting sick, and I knew she was going, and there was nothing really I could do. I really didn't have something to turn to, which is the scriptures and getting into the word, and it just escalated. Got to the point my parents were looking for me. They didn't know where I was at. People medicated with drugs. People medicated with pornography. People medicated with gambling. I mean, there's a wide variety of things that the people like to medicate grief with. One of the things is God created grief in every human being. So stop worrying if you're grieving. If you're grieving over something of a current lost loved one, it's normal. You're normal. I'm going to tell you right now that it is normal for every single human being on the face of this earth to grieve. It's normal. Jesus went away and grieved. When they beheaded John the Baptist, his cousin, he went off and grieved. But yet then the multitudes came approached. The Bible says the multitudes approached him, and he had compassion on him. Even though he was grieving, he wanted to be left alone. Don't talk to me. Don't say nothing to me. The only way he knew to get away from that grief, it was to start doing the will of God. That's the problem. A lot of people get in a grieving mode where they don't know how to break out of it. They don't know how to release themselves out of that grieving mode. We all go into the grieving mode. But the one thing is we walk through that valley. In a valley, there's only a low spot for a moment. That low spot is only for a moment, because eventually in a valley, when you make your descent, you start to make your ascent. I said when you start to make, after you made your descent, you start to make your ascent, and you start to walk out of that thing. Like the Bible says in Psalm 23, Psalm chapter 23, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no man. For the thou God's means you are in that place only for a moment. It's only a temporary place where we get into that place of grief, and we start to walk up and start walking up that hill, and eventually get out of that place of grief. You gotta understand something. Grief is something that if you don't get out, it will eat you alive. It will literally eat you alive. If you allow it, it's like too much of a good thing. I sit there, you take a piece of cake with buttercream frosting and all this other good stuff all over. You keep eating that cake 24/7, you're going to end up with diabetes, and eventually you're going to be in the grave. Same thing with grief. A lot of people, people handle grief differently. I mean, a lot of people, and there are some people that just don't know how to get out of grief. Or they've grieved so long that they just, it just become their way of life, and then that's how their whole life is lived. They're in grieving mode. I mean, how do you get out of grieving mode? Well, that's a good question. When you get it, how to get out of grieving mode is you got to get into the Word of God. Two, you need to get around people who love you. And associate yourself with people you love. And be around, and get around family, spiritual family. People that can pray for you, people that can walk you out of this thing. And sometimes you get down in the bottom of that valley, there's quicksand there. And you got to get your buddies in there to help pull you out and walk you up the hill and get you out of that valley. I mean, that valley is going to take, that valley is going to be the death of you if you don't stop, if you stay there. If you want to hear my, if you want to know how to walk out of that valley of the shadow of grieving, you've got to keep on walking. You got to keep on walking. Because when you keep on walking, you may be walking down through the thing, but eventually you're going to walk right back up. And you're going to look back and say, wow, did that just happen to me? I want to get you, go with you to the scriptures, will you? Go with me to the book of Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. I mean, we've got to understand something. When Jesus grieved, he had to walk out of it. He had to have his people came around that loved him enough. I mean, he knew that he loved people enough that he had to not stay there because he had to get out of that. He grieved for a moment. The Bible says sorrow may last for a night. The Bible simply says this. Sorrow may last for its night, but it is joy that cometh within the morning. That's right. Your morning, your joy comes. You gotta break across that threshold of midnight hour. That rock bottom area where you're starting to break through and starting to break up through, and that see that little bit of that daylight coming over the horizon. Isaiah 53. In verse 4, go with me here. Surely he has borne our griefs, and has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him that our chastisement that was brought us peace. Yet, and with his wounds we are healed. And the Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. It's got to be a place of healing. You've got to get into this word. I've never seen a believer that ever went through something that healed up without being in the Word of God and without plugging into his presence. It's not like they just sit there and just, bing, I'm healed. I'm done. It is a process of walking through this thing and getting in with the right believers and getting with people who love you and surrounding yourselves. I mean, years ago, 2005, my cousin was in a horrible accident, didn't make it through. I grieved. The first place I went to is I went to my church. I plugged into my pastor's. I got plugged in with Pastor Josh and Tori, Pastor Rick and Donna, a couple of other pastors, Pastor Virgil, and I just had to hear. We kept walking this thing through. Yes, this thing is going. It has happened, but it's not going to take me you're going to have to walk this thing out. We're going to walk this thing out through you. Every time I talked to Pastor Rick about it, and I would get counseling from him. Or I would get counseling from Pastor Josh or Tori on it. Or, I mean, just not even counseling. It was just more, they were just there. And it was like I was being helped walk out of this thing. You got to get people in your life. God created us to be in fellowship with one another. That's why you have a local church. I've never seen a person who calls themselves a Christian that ever gotten through any major victories without being connected with other believers. Never in my life have I ever seen that. I mean, in the worst place you could ever do when you're grieving is getting alone. Yes, get alone with God in your prayer time. But don't stay alone. Get around other people that love you and believe in you and want to see you through this thing. Because you're going to wind up, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to wind up. I've seen it happen time and time again. That person doesn't connect with anybody, and then next thing you know, this one person in particular, he was grieving. They had just taken his daughter away from him. His ex-wife took him to cleaners. There was really nothing. He just felt like he just got alone, and he started distancing himself. And the next thing you know, we get a call. I remember we got a call. It was during the singles ministry, that this person had just taken his life because he isolated himself and wouldn't have nobody to help him walk through. I went through something in my life. I went through a divorce. Yes, I had a grieving time. I literally had a mental breakdown. I thought I could just change out who I was. I will hide away. And that was the worst mistake I could ever done. Why? Because I started isolating myself. I started disassociating myself with any believers. I'm like, I don't even want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. Don't you even tell me anything about being in ministry ever again. I don't want it. I want to do something else with my life. I'm had it. I'm done. There was a part of my life I didn't want it anymore. Because when you start to do that, you start putting the enemy in a place where he's got you cornered. I said he gets you cornered and he will take you out. He wants to do it because he knows he knows he's got it but a short time left. He knows how to get you cornered. He knows that when you're in that grieving process, he knows how to say, ha ha, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to do whatever I want now. You have no protection. That was the worst thing I ever did. It was walk away from church. I walked away from my Christianity. I didn't want nothing to do with it. Don't go telling me nothing about how Jesus is here to help me and heal me. Don't go praying for me. I don't want you mention. I was just like done. And finally, I mean, remember, and it was a chain of events. It was like this. And it was a chain of events that happened. It was a certain amount of events. One, Pastor Jack Harrison, Pops, if you're watching, I love you for this. He kept encouraging me. Come on, John, you need to get back into your faith. You need to get back into your calling. You need to get back to you. Where God wants you. You need to get back to what you're called to do. You need to come back to church. If you can if you could channel all that, you could use social media. There's a way to channel social media. You love social media. If you could channel it the right way, you can reach a lot of people for the gospel. And I'm like, okay. But deep down inside, there was something that was telling me, he's right. Then there was another time. I seen that I had a message on Twitter. I thought, what could this be? It's Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Talking about God, thinking, God, you're okay, God. All right, God. All right, leave me alone. Okay. And he's like, don't you dare give up. Not for the sake of the lives of your own, not for the sake of your two boys. Don't you even give up. God has his ways of turning things around. You can still touch people's lives for Jesus. And in the third one that got me, that finally put the cherries on the cake, is when I was just sitting there crying. I just had enough. I just wanted to be out of this whole deal, ordeal. And I posted on Facebook. I said I just did. I would give any amount of money. I would just do anything. I said, I wish I could be happy again. That's all I posted. It wasn't 2 seconds later, I seen this little bloop bloop flashing message on her. Pastor Donna. I'm thinking, uh-oh. What's this all about? John, you know the answer to that. And deep down, and you know what? She's right. I knew the answer to that. I just didn't want to hear the answer. It was an answer that I didn't want to hear. But I needed to hear it anyway, even though much it hurt me. That was the truth. Pastor Donna, I love you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. But we've got to understand, it was that slowly bit. People were coming. God was sending people in there to help pull me out slowly but surely. Now here I stand before you in the studio preaching the gospel to you. Got a new daughter, got a little 2-year-old daughter upstairs, a beautiful wife. You got to get out of that place of grief. That place of grief, yes, it's good to grieve for a little bit. But after a certain period of time, you got to get out of there because you're gonna rot away and you're gonna go to nothing. You're gonna be going to waste. I mean, seriously, when you're sitting there rotting away and you're just not wanting help. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like the story about the guy with the helicopter and the canoes. I don't even want to start that one. Anyway, when you're grieving, yes, it's good. It's good for a little bit of time because it helps you express out and get that closure in you to express how you feel. Crying, but you got to cry out to God while you're grieving. You can't grieve alone. You cannot grieve to the point where you're not crying out to God. You got to cry out to Him. He wants you to cry out to Him. Take and put everything in His lap. I mean, Pastor Rick said this message. It was the valley of going through the valley of shadow of tears. This was his message was. I mean, you got to get in you got to cry out that thing and get that poison out and get that hurt and that frustration out and get that those emotions that's built up inside of you, that hard and you're crying and you're releasing that thing. I mean, look at Pastor Donna Shelton. She went through some horrible things. I'm not going to get into the details of it on this program. But she went through some things as a child. Horrible things. And the only way she was able to grieve was when God told her to sit there and call out their names and tell them, I forgive you, and crying it out. And she sat there and she cried it out for a good day. She went through a couple boxes of Kleenex. Whatever, how many Kleenex boxes it takes to cry it out and talk to God and get it all, to get that poison out of you. Get it out of your system. Because it'll eat you alive like a cancer. And get good accountability. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I mean, I went through stuff with losing people in my life. 6 years old, lost my best friend in the world, my grandpa, John Sr. Tough for a little guy to go through. Sometimes I just feel like that little guy at times, you know? Because there was a piece of me that wasn't ready to let go of him. That wasn't ready to be let go of at too early of an age, you know? What can you say? I mean, all I know is that I believe without a shadow of a doubt my grandfather's in heaven. I believe that he's dancing on streets of gold. I mean, in fact, I know he's there because something happened where I had to go to home. I had died in my cousin's arms, and there he was. I mean, so was my grandmother. That'll be for another. But for this is here for the message here. Go to go with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. If you go with me to Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and set liberty to those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord. One verse says in the King James Version, it says to heal the brokenhearted. It says to heal the broken. It talks about deliver. So, one of the verses says to heal the brokenhearted. He's called Jesus. It came so he can come to heal the brokenhearted. When we see that in our, we can say that for us because we have the Spirit of Jesus without measure. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. The Bible says he binds the brokenhearted, he heals the wounded soul. You know, that's the song. He binds the brokenhearted, he heals the wounded soul. Not my will, but yours I choose to follow to the end. To bring revival and a new thing begin. Lord, I hunger thirst. And it goes on and on. He comes to heal our hearts. We've got to have our hearts. There was a lot of brokenheartedness in me. A lot of the issues, a lot of things that came that really broke my heart. Heartbreaking things that I just felt heartbroken. Yes, does it mess with me at times? Yes, sometimes it takes out my head, but I take out its head. I get in the Word of God, and I get in there, and I study what the Bible says. Or I'll get on YouTube, and I'll put on the smart TV and put on some Pastor Rick or Pastor Rodney. Dive into the anointing, and let that anointing blast that thing out. Then, I never seen anybody else ever get, and I'm going to say this again. I've never seen anybody else ever get healed without being plugged into the presence of God, into the power of God, and get into the anointing. Get into that realm, that soil. Plant yourself in that soil and let that healing grow forth. I mean, the soil of prayer is everything. I mean, prayer is not an action. It's a place. It's a place of being. It's a place being hidden with God, where he can heal your heart, and that healing springs forth new life. Amen? I mean, like I said, when you're walking down that valley, keep on walking, because you're eventually going to come up on the other side. Amen? I mean, well, I'm here to speak some nuggets and truth to you tonight. There's going to be a day where we're not going to be able to grieve anymore. The Bible talks about that. Revelations, I'm not going to go there, but Revelations 21, verse 9. Revelation 21, verse 9. He says, He will wipe away. The Lord will, there will one day. That's all I'm talking about. We're in a new heaven, and he will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more grieving, no more sorrow, no more pain. That's where God wants to take us. You've got to get past your grief. Yeah, my wife's family, they've experienced hard grief. I mean, matter of fact, her sister, horrible injustice done. Her horrible injustice done to this young 14-year-old girl. My wife and her family have had to walk through that grief. That is a hard grief to deal. They had to get a child. You lose a child to like a miscarriage, or lose a child to cancer, but to have a child murdered, I mean, that takes a lot to walk through. You gotta. I mean, that goes for anybody who've had murdered, or there's somebody that was killed before their time. Like my cousin who was killed. You got to keep walking. You got to get with people. You got to get with people who you love and who you trust. And you know that you could tell them all the dirty details about how you feel and what you want to do to that person. And how it makes you feel. You got to be open up and willing to puke it all up and get it all out. Get the poison out. Puke it up. Cry it out. Tell them you forgive them. Because that grief, like I said, it'll take you out. After my cousin got killed, I mean, it was just, I couldn't, it was just like, I was so grief stricken. I was literally feeling like I was dying, and then I had to get a hold of myself. Pastor Rick Shelton one night was holding these Holy Spirit meetings. And it was at our church, and the power of God hit me. I hit that floor. And I shook and I left for an hour, two hours, I was on the floor shaking and laughing. And I was shaking, I was moving across the floor. And as the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was taking place, God began to heal me. That thing began to release out of my heart. And I started not to feel that grief anymore. That's how you got to do it. You got to get in His presence. You got to get into the presence of God, because when you don't get into that presence of God, that's where the enemy has you. You got to stay in that presence 24/7. This thing is serious. But we got a God that's much more serious. That's much more patient. That's much more, He's a healing God. Amen. He's a God that'll walk us out through that valley. Like that song, there's another in the fire. Standing next to me, there's another in the water. Holding back the seas. I can sing that song forever. Amen. I mean, I just feel the strong presence of the Holy Spirit moving in on this thing. I feel the presence of God moving right now. I feel like I'm speaking to people right now. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We come before you. We come before you. We adore you. We adore you. Holy Ghost. You wonderful Holy Ghost, your wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Just sing that verse with me. Just keep singing that. Don't just forget about the rest of that song. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, your wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, your wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're here to honor you. We're here to honor you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for the healing merit, the healing power that's happening right now. If somebody watching me, you mean they're God's healing you of something very horrible that had took place in your life. There's a lady you've been battling with a severe loss of your spouse. It's the loss of your spouse. There's a gentleman too watching too, the same situation. Thank you, Father God. It's starting to walk you out of those valleys. We thank you. We give you honor. We to worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give you honor, give you glory. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, this place. Holy Spirit, you're wonderful. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministry, please contact me at revivalistjfs3@gmail.com. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord.